listening to The Bart Winkler Show, live from Milwaukee. Here's Bart Winkler.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to The Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you here tonight on the Infinity Sports Network. Andrew Scarpacci alongside. We've got Marco Belletti on the updates. And we've got a lot of things happening. We're halfway through the Masters. We can look at the cut line. About, I think it was seven of the LIV Golf guys got through, including one near the top with Bryson DeChambeau. Always interesting to see them wearing their team apparel from LIV Golf. I don't know if LIV makes them do that or if they're just like so super proud to be a LIV golfer, but it looks stupid. But DeChambeau's in second. Justin Rose is in first. Just a one under round today, but he had a seven under yesterday. So he is eight under for the tournament. Bryson is seven under. And then two guys at six under. Corey Connors. And what's this? Rory McIlroy with a six under today after having a really good start to round one on Thursday. Then blew up on two different holes. And totally rebounded. That's the thing that I hear every interview that I hear regarding Rory McIlroy. There is the phrase like, is it physical with him or is it between the ears? Like, what's going on? Is it a mental thing? And you would think, well, maybe. I mean, he hasn't won a major in 11 years. Took second at the Masters 3 years ago, but has had a lot of success in rounds 1, 2, 3. Maybe not so much in four, or has had a lot of success in the first three-fourths of a round, and then maybe not the last. But a huge day for him today, which shakes up pretty much everything at Augusta. Really interesting leaderboard. Tyrell Hatton up there. Scottie Scheffler just three back off the lead. Jason Day. Matsuyama. Morikawa. A lot of these guys. Patrick Reed. Xander Schauffele. A lot of the guys who have been the names in the tournament. All, you know, within four, five, six strokes of the lead. Guys that have been the top names in LIV, guys that have been the top names in PGA golf, guys that have been the top names when it comes to the Ryder Cup or really anything, majors. So it's a nice, healthy leaderboard, which should give us a good weekend to close things out there in Georgia. So we'll have a little more on that throughout the night. The NBA is very interesting. 15 games, 30 teams. Nothing tomorrow, and then they all rest and reset for Sunday. Now, we got to figure out how things are going to shake out in the West because there's some seeds up for grabs. There's the playing game that teams are trying to stay out of. But we also already do know two of the series that will happen in the East. So the East is kind of set. We've got the Cavs at one, the Knicks at, well, the Cavs at one, the Celtics at two, and then it's going to be Knicks Pistons as the 3-6 and Pacers Bucks as the 4-5. We'll figure out who is in the other slots based on how things go with the playing tournament, the Hawks and the Magic and the Heat and the Bulls, and then we'll get some good series in the East. So things are getting settled as you would expect with there being only really a day and a half left of NBA basketball in the regular season before we get the play-in games next week. So should be a lot of interest there, and we'll kind of get a better sense of where everybody is at throughout the night. The big news today, I think, and there were kind of two of them, is we look to the NFL. And a lot of quarterback news today. I'll start, you know what, let's work our way up. Let's start with maybe the not biggest quarterback news, but the most interesting to me. And that is Josh Johnson, at the age of 38, has signed with the Washington Commanders. Now, why is that interesting? Well, let me take you through Josh Johnson's career all the way back to 2008. Ready? 2008 to 2011, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2012, the San Francisco 49ers, and then the Sacramento Mountain Lions of the then United Football League. Then the Cleveland Browns. 2013, the Bengals. 2014, the 49ers. 2015, the Bengals, Jets, Colts, Bills. 2016, the Ravens and Giants. 2017, the Texans. 2018, the Raiders, the Redskins. 2019, the San Diego Fleet, which was a part of the Alliance of American Football. Then the Detroit Lions in 2019. In 2020, the LA Wildcats of the second edition of the XFL and back to the Niners. 2021, the New York Jets and the Baltimore Ravens. 2022, the Denver Broncos and the 49ers for a fourth time. 2023, the Baltimore Ravens for a handful of years, as in two, and then now with the Washington Commanders. So across four different leagues, and I can't count that many teams. It is more than half of the NFL, though. Josh Johnson signs with Washington for the second time, although under a different name than he had the first time around. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an athlete, as most of us did. And I always dreamed of a career where I played for like a different team every season so that I could have this rec room in my house and all the different jerseys of the teams I played for. That was my goal. My goal wasn't to be a guy who was somewhere for 15 years and then they renamed the ballpark after you and put up statues. My dream was to have a room full of jerseys. And so with that being said, Josh Johnson is living out my dream. So congratulations to him. He has been with the 49ers a few times. He's been with the Washington franchise a couple of times. Another guy that is returning to an old place is Drew Lock. Drew Lock expected to sign with the Seahawks for a second stint with the team, a two-year deal worth $5 million. He started with the Broncos, got traded to the Seahawks, then went to the Giants, now back in Seattle. Okay, so we're getting somewhere. We're building up to what was the big news for most of the morning is that Joe Flacco is back with the Cleveland Browns. A one-year deal worth $4 million, which could be up to $13 million in incentives. He also talked with the Steelers and the Vikings, but wanted to come back and play with Cleveland, where he had a nice campaign a couple of years ago to earn him Comeback Player of the Year. He got the award because he came back off his couch and led the Browns to the playoffs, beating out a guy who died on the field and then came back to life in the process. And then the other news, more news, is that Derek Carr may not play. Ian Rappaport with a tweet around 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Saints suddenly have a major quarterback question. Starter Derek Carr is now dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for the season, sources say. Carr is weighing options, including the possibility of surgery. So let's break this down a little bit between these four news stories. Well, the Josh Johnson news story, I already spent probably 3 minutes too many on that. Drew Lock got the appropriate amount of time. And now we have Joe Flacco and we have Derek Carr. And for some reason, the name that was trending a bunch today was Aaron Rodgers because of where he might play. Also, Kirk Cousins, a lot of questions about what may happen there. Could those guys now be potential targets for the New Orleans Saints? And it looks like they are no longer potential targets for the Cleveland Browns. Rodgers not really so much one up to this point. It did seem like Kirk Cousins could eventually get traded there, maybe after the draft. He didn't want to experience what he did a year ago where he signed somewhere and then they drafted a quarterback. He didn't want to do that, so they've got a no-trade clause in Atlanta, and he's not willing to waive that yet. Would they trade him to the Saints? It'd be interdivision, but also Kirk Cousins I don't think is that good, so it's not like he's going to get revenge on you if you're the Atlanta Falcons. But the Joe Flacco news is interesting, and it's interesting because of what we were talking about this time last night, which was the Cleveland Browns and their bad history of drafting quarterbacks. Ever since they came back, it's been Tim Couch, it's been Brady Quinn, it's been Baker Mayfield, which was okay, but then they weren't happy enough with that. They wanted to go to Deshaun Watson, which was bad, and everybody that they've tried to bring in, whether it was draft, free agency, or even by trade, it hasn't worked out. One of their brightest spots, you could say, was Joe Flacco when he came and replaced an injured Deshaun Watson, and they were having problems trying to figure that out. But he came in December, played against the Rams, they lost, but he didn't look terrible. 200 some yards, couple of touchdowns. And then he won the next four games. So Joe Flacco, he got the comeback player of the year for really six games of football. In some games, he looked better than others. What we forget about that run is that he threw 13 touchdowns in 5 weeks. He also threw eight interceptions. So he wasn't infallible, but he was getting wins. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe there was a game the Browns beat the Bears. That was a game I think the Bears were doing pretty well in, and then the Browns had like a 2-touchdown or a 13-point fourth quarter, and that was like, okay, there's something happening here. Then they go to Houston and win, and then they beat the Jets. So they get into the playoffs, go to Houston for the wild card. Joe Flacco puts up 307 yards, throws a touchdown, but he also had two interceptions, both of them returned for touchdowns in that really dreadful third quarter. And then the kind of magical ride for Joe Flacco came to a screeching halt. Now, what was interesting about that is that the following year, last year, the Browns needed to do something at quarterback because, you know, Deshaun Watson, maybe he's not going to be the guy. We'll give him another chance and see what can happen here. But he got hurt again, and it did not go great. They did not choose to bring back Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco then instead signed with the Indianapolis Colts. And with the Colts, like, if the Colts were expecting what the Browns got out of him, like, hey, will us to the playoffs. Joe Flacco came in week four, I think it was, played well enough to beat the Steelers. Then they lost to Jacksonville, beat the Titans. And then they lost a bunch of the games that he started the rest of the way. He eventually got re-benched for Anthony Richardson, played a little bit at the end of the season. Last year, I mean, 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions across 7 games, 1,700 yards. Statistically, it wasn't too different from when he won Comeback Player of the Year. It just took him more games to get about as many stats, and also the results weren't there in the wins and losses. So I feel like, and I said this at the time, that the Browns were happy with Joe Flacco, but still had to see what they could get out of Deshaun Watson. And they knew if they brought Deshaun Watson back to be the starter and then brought Joe Flacco back, they wouldn't last a quarter before the fans wanted to see Joe Flacco again. Because even though it did end on a sour note in 2023 in that postseason, he did have a four-game winning streak to end the year, and he did get them into the playoffs, and he did win Comeback Player of the Year and gave the Browns some sort of hope, you know, some sort of optimism at a position where they hadn't had any in a long time. But if you bring back Deshaun Watson, you kind of got to give him the space, so they instead went with Jameis Winston. You know, Jameis Winston, he had his struggles as well, but it wasn't as much of a threat, or at least from the fan perspective, you weren't going to be hearing it every week. Because you were going to be hearing it every week because of what Joe Flacco did the week before. Browns fans saw him give them joy, and then now they're going to go with this guy that they never wanted in the first place. Fans never wanted him. He's never been good in a Browns uniform. So the Browns had to let him go. And he goes to Indianapolis, and again, he didn't play great. It felt like Indianapolis was trying to be like, hey, that thing he did in Cleveland, you know, Anthony Richardson, maybe if he scuffles, then we'll miraculously go to Joe Flacco and the same thing will happen, but it didn't. The Colts, by the way, as an aside, on a tangent, on a quick detour, I don't like that they did that. I don't like that they got Joe Flacco last year, and I don't like that they're going with Daniel Jones this year. I think you need to give Anthony Richardson the space to grow. Let's not be putting Anthony Richardson in quarterback competitions. Now, granted, he should be beating out these guys that he's playing against. But a big part of the Anthony Richardson benching last year was when he took himself out for a play, and then he had Joe Flacco to put right in, and Anthony Richardson had to think about it, and was there weeks of development that he lost? You drafted him as a project, so you got to remember he is a project. If you're going to draft a guy as a project, you give him a longer leash, not a shorter leash. You expect results over the long term, not the immediate short term. But the Colts, I don't like how they're handling Richardson, and Joe Flacco was part of that story. Now, this year, the Browns have Kenny Pickett, who was never going to be the starter. One way or another, with apologies to our Kenny Pickett calling friend in California, we talked to him last night. The take was that the Browns should draft Ashton Jeanty to give Kenny Pickett somebody to hand the ball off to, and also that the only reason why Jalen Squirts, his words, was any good was because Kenny Pickett lit a firecracker up his butt by being the backup and threatening him. Real take on the show last night. So Kenny Pickett, no longer the starter in Cleveland. But now, the discussion is, well, I guess the Browns don't need to draft a quarterback anymore. My head is in my hands right now. The Browns don't need to draft a quarterback anymore. Plenty of people that get paid much more handsomely than I ever will. Plenty of people that get the camera in their face and have a linear TV spotlight, of which I'm still holding out hope for that someday on a TV radio simulcast. We'll see. Plenty of people think that Joe Flacco's signing means the Browns are no longer in the market for a quarterback in the first round. And as we went through the mock draft last night, courtesy of the Bartometer believes Travis Hunter will be taken there. But the Browns are going to draft a quarterback. One of these guys will be drafted by the Browns. May I remind these people, Joe Flacco is 40 years old. He is not the future of the Cleveland Browns. He wasn't 2 years ago, and he's not again. And Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's older, too. We're seeing these guys, just because they fill in the spot with another what should be backup quarterback, you got all these people saying, oh, no, they're out of the market for a quarterback now. I don't think that's the case. I think, if anything, some of these signings make it more possible that a Giants team, that a Browns team could be drafting a quarterback in this draft. I'll explain a little bit more on that coming up. Also, getting into the Saints and Derek Carr. With him being out, does that put them in play? That does. That does. Oh, Derek Carr's hurt. Maybe they're in play for a quarterback. Yes. That is right. Yes. Joe Flacco's with Cleveland. They're out of the running. No. That's wrong. I'll get into it with you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All that and more as we get tonight started here on the Infinity Sports Network. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
What are you waiting for? Call the Bart Winkler Show now. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll get back into the quarterback stuff. It's time for the NASCAR race preview, brought to you by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. NASCAR heading back to the Bristol Motor Speedway this Sunday for the Food City 500. Coming off of back-to-back wins at the Worth 400, followed by the Jack Links 500. Denny Hamlin has moved up to second in the points total, trading only William Byron in the standings. He's looking to continue his dominance on the track. He looks to tie Christopher Bell in victories. Remember, he won those three straight races earlier this year. You can catch the race this Sunday at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central on FS1. Again, our NASCAR preview every week brought to you by the WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment folks. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros that they serve. So Derek Carr is hurt, and he might be hurt for a while. A very busy day of quarterback news. Some very minor. Well, not really. I mean, it's a big deal for Drew Lock and his family that he's back in Seattle. Josh Johnson has now played for every team in every league, dating all the way back to the Rhine Fire and Scottish Claymores of world football back in the 90s. And Joe Flacco is back with the Cleveland Browns, which some say and think, they're not going to draft somebody now. I don't necessarily know that that's true. Cam Ward is going number one. I think we feel like that is happening. Travis Hunter and the Browns, I do think, is the match. The Giants last night, the Bardometer, mocking Shedeur Sanders there. And I think for the Browns and the Giants, these are two teams that have brought in veteran quarterbacks since we last saw them play. And I don't think that that means they're not going to draft a quarterback now. If anything, it allows you to bring a quarterback in and not throw them to the wolves right away, not throw them right into the fire. And also, these guys are not long for their spots. Russell Wilson is not going to be a Giant that much longer than he is right now. Joe Flacco is not going to be a Brown that much longer than he is right now. When the Falcons drafted Michael Penix, it was like a head scratcher because they had just signed Kirk Cousins to a big contract, and you assume that there would at least be multiple years of Kirk Cousins. When the Packers were drafting various quarterbacks, there was always another quarterback in front of them, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, that did not seem like they were at the end of the line in Green Bay. In a couple of years, maybe, but you were thinking 2, 3, 4 more years out of the quarterback that you had when you drafted another one. In these cases, it's a clear, like, Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation, where Kurt Warner wasn't going to be the Giants quarterback forever, but Eli Manning got drafted in and eventually replaced. Or like when Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback in Miami and Tua Tagovailoa came, they weren't going to have Tua sit forever. They eventually made that switch mid-season. So it's not like these teams have quarterbacks of the future. They barely have quarterbacks of the present. So I don't think signing a quarterback that's a veteran eliminates them from drafting a quarterback at any position in 2025. If anything, I think it makes it more acceptable because then you can bring a guy in, get him acclimated. And even if it's not a full season, it's, hey, this is what's going on. This is how we do things. Now, is Russell Wilson going to be happy if he gets benched? Would Joe Flacco be happy if he gets benched? Would any of these guys be happy if they get benched? No. And there's a really good way to not get benched, and that's to, you know, go out there and ball and win games. But you know you're signing one-year deals with teams that have Tommy DeVito as the only quarterback in the roster. You know your options are limited. And you know you could get benched really at any time. Louis Riddick today of ESPN tweeting that 9th pick going to be all kinds of interesting. That is where the New Orleans Saints have their selection. And Shedeur Sanders was thought to be a top 2 pick, then maybe a top 3 pick. And now, like I said last night, mock drafters are racing to the bottom. As in, how far can we drop Shedeur Sanders in our mock draft? Well, this one might put a wrinkle in that because with the Saints having an apparent vacancy at quarterback, Shedeur Sanders suddenly could be the selection at number 9. to the New Orleans Saints. If even they don't trade up, there could be a possibility that they trade up. Now, they do have Jake Haener on the roster. They do have Ben DiNucci on the roster. They do also have Spencer Rattler, who was drafted fifth round last year and did get a little bit of run. But they could very much be in play for Shadur if he is still there at number nine. It would probably be hard now to see them pass on Shadur if he's there, although that maybe should have been the thinking even before this. Deion Sanders, by the way, using the eyeball looking the certain way emoji in response to the Lewis Riddick tweet, trying to hint that maybe, yeah, Shadur could be New Orleans Saints bound. When I first saw this Derek Carr news, I had a buddy send it to me, and my text was, I don't buy it. I mean, Derek, I'm not saying Derek Carr's faking an injury. I'm not saying that the Saints told Derek Carr, hey, we need to move on from this. You're not that good, but you coming here threatens at least more wins than a rookie quarterback would. How's that shoulder doing? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything. All I initially said was I don't buy it, and you can fill in the blanks from there. It would be irresponsible for me to talk out of pocket and out of school about anything that I didn't have any information on. I do think, with all due respect, it is in the Saints' best interest if the Derek Carr era comes to an end. The New Orleans Saints should not be trying to win football games under any circumstance. They've been kicking the can down the road, as we say, for years. But they keep trying to, like, be competitive. Their salary cap situation is a mess. And a lot of times it looks like it's a mess and then they get saved, like, oh, we'll just convert this guy to a signing bonus, or, oh my God, the salary cap was $30 million more than we thought it would be. The Eagles are a team that is flirting with a future of pain. But Howie Roseman, they don't care. Well, we're trying to win now. We'll worry about then. We're trying to win now. And a lot of times these teams do get bailed out a little bit. And it's not as bad as it looks. Except for the Saints, it's as bad as it looks. They are having a hard time figuring out how to assemble any sort of a roster. If Shadur were to come in there, if he is the pick at nine, or again, there's a possibility the Saints trade up. But if he does go to New Orleans, that I think would end up being a pretty decent scenario for him. The same way that Cam Ward would be a decent scenario for Tennessee. Now, the best case scenario for these guys is probably to get drafted to a team that's good and sit for 2 years and then take over. If you're going to look at blanket, like, what is the ideal way for somebody to come in to the National Football League as a quarterback, that might be the way. The problem is the teams that take quarterbacks need quarterbacks now. If the Packers took Aaron Rodgers when they needed a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers would have been out of the league a long time ago. A long time ago. He was a guy that I think needed a little bit of time. His throwing motion, they worked on that. You know, they honed his game. You come in after 3 years, and you're ready to go. He sometimes, you know, as smart as he is and the play recollection, now he's starting games thinking of all this stuff he's seen in practice, and suddenly he looks great. But it was because of the time that he had sat. There's so many quarterbacks that have been drafted and that have had terrible careers. We don't know if they would have had a better career. Some guys, you know, Johnny Manziel didn't seem like he was ever going to get it together. Ryan Leaf had off the field problems that he's been very open about. But I think Jamarcus Russell could have been better somewhere else. I think Tim Couch could have been better somewhere else. I think some of these guys could have been better in other places. Even when Troy Aikman was drafted by the Cowboys, they were terrible. They were 1-15 his first year. What kind of leash would a guy like that get? But they used a bunch of the picks from the Herschel Walker deal, and then they got better, and then they got Jimmy Johnson in there, and they won a bunch of Super Bowls. You're not always drafted in the best situation, and it seems like the best quarterbacks get drafted to the worst situations. So if he goes Shadur, if he goes to New Orleans, if Cam Ward goes to Tennessee, maybe these guys will have a little bit more breathing room, because while they are bad, the expectations on them are not going to be high. They'll be allowed time to grow. They'll be allowed time to try to get it together. These are not right now the high-profile franchises. In fact, the Saints and Titans, that's probably a game we would see on a Thursday night football. If not together, if they don't play, that's the one time we're going to see them. So there's not going to be a lot of eyes on him. It's the Trevor Lawrence thing. Trevor Lawrence, statistically, has not been that good. But the criticism and the pressure is not as high, because when have you ever watched a full game of Trevor Lawrence play? You saw him in the playoff game. When else? A Thursday night game maybe? How many full games of Patrick Mahomes have you seen? What, like 50? How many of Trevor Lawrence have you seen? Because the Sunday morning games, you ain't getting up for those. Then when he's on the afternoon, you catch a highlight or a low light on Red Zone. And I think that would be the same with Shadur and Cam if they go to these respective teams. If they go to the Browns, there might be more pressure, actually, because of the history of failure with Cleveland. And they're going to be under more of a microscope, the same way Caleb is getting some pressure in Chicago. If they go to New York, that's a major market. New York Giants, a big-time team. And they will be on primetime, because even if they're not that good, the rivalries in that division are primetime worthy. So we will see them. So a big shakeup, a lot of moving parts, some different arranging of the chess pieces. I still think the Browns at some point in this draft do take a quarterback. And I still think Shadur is a top 10 pick. Last night we mocked him at 3. Now it seems like the Saints might be a safeguard, that he's not falling any further than that. And I'm still, you know, I know that his dad's Deion Sanders, but is that a negative? The last name Manning is going to be a huge positive for Arch, but Sanders is a negative for Shadur? I don't quite get that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll have the Bulletin Blitz straight ahead. Right now, an update from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
No, señor! Los Eagles se van con la victoria!
The biggest voices in sports.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
The heartbreak.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line!
The celebrations.
Kansas City wins the game! 25-22! And the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is time for the Bulletin Blitz. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. Andrew Scarpacci here tonight. Andrew, take it away, my friend.
So we're going to start it off with Luka Doncic scoring 45 points in his return to Dallas from the trade to the Lakers. And here is what he had to say in regards to the tribute video and returning to Dallas, courtesy of ESPN.
So many emotions. Can't even explain it. You know, brought tears to my eyes. Like I said, I came as a young kid here with 18, and I know what to expect from NBA. And, you know, they made me feel like home, man. It's just a lot of great, great memories.
Really still amazing that that happened. The game, the trade, the scenes that we saw. And this is a fan base that celebrated Luka, has grown with Luka. Luka's grown with them. And they were in the NBA Finals last year. This year, What are the hopes for the Dallas Mavericks? Well, they're in the play-in game against the Kings. And we'll see who hosts it and then who plays the loser of the other game. And then their season will be done by next Friday. So, again, if you want to go to debate class and say, hey, argue on behalf of the Dallas Mavericks making that trade, the best you can come up with is you thought there was a better window in the next 2 years with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving than you did Luka, but you do not trade Luka for the very slim chance of that being right. And Nico Harrison remains employed, which is maybe the most shocking thing of all of it.
So I would say that it's old news that Denver's head coach Michael Malone got fired. But what is new is Nikola Jokic speaking on his discussions with Josh Kroenke before the firing and saying that he was aware that it was going to happen.
I knew a little bit before everybody, and he told me like we made a decision. So it was not discussion; it was decision. And he told me why, and so I listened and I accepted.
I don't have a problem with that, telling your superstar that this is the decision we're going to make and we want you to find out before everybody else does. If they were going to help him make the decision, I think that would be a little sketch. But also then, I would feel bad as being Jokic. I was at a place once where I find out they were going to fire a guy. But then I was getting promoted because of his firing. So they told me first, and then I was like, can I have the rest of the day off? I don't want to be here when it happens. And they let me, and I didn't give the guy a heads up. I don't know. It's real weird. But the Nuggets playing a little more inspired, more stories coming out just with how miserable they were. The Nuggets taking on the Grizzlies right now in what is a very consequential game. At the end of the third, Grizzlies are up 95-92. Once that's settled, we'll have a pretty decent idea about where things could be headed in the West. Golden State right now leading Portland. That's an important one. The Clippers trailing the Kings in the second. That's an important one, too. So, very busy night, very chaotic night. Could be a very chaotic finish. No NBA games tomorrow, remember. And everybody back in action on Sunday.
So here is the current Masters leader, Justin Rose, on his last 2 days, as well as his thoughts heading into this weekend.
Two good swings, really, on 14 and 17, but just misjudgments on the conditions and the wind. But, yeah, those two fives could have been two birdie putts quite easily and would have changed the complexion of the round a little bit. But, you know, overall, you know, under par. You know, in a great position going into the weekend.
He can't be mad about where he is. Justin Rose is in a really nice spot. He's 8-under through two rounds at Augusta. By having a big start yesterday, that helped. But by just playing 1-under today, it also allowed other people to catch up. Shane Lowry, 4-under on the day. He's just a few strokes behind. Matt McCarty, 4-under on the day. Now just three strokes behind. Bryson DeChambeau, 4-under on the day, just one stroke behind. And then Rory McIlroy, who everybody wrote off after he blew up on 15 and then a couple of holes later. 6-under on the day. So Rose had the opportunity to maybe extend things a little bit. He'll be paired up with Bryson tomorrow, which should be a really good weekend of golf. This is why, again, I like to watch Masters start to finish to kind of see how this plays out and how the story unfolds. I like to watch all the majors that way. Really captivating stuff. The ratings were down tremendously. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the tournaments, I think, has been very exciting with a lot of different angles, like a Fred Couples story and Bernard Langer and all these different guys kind of giving it one last hurrah. I saw Scottie Scheffler today. Chip out of the trees. That was fun. So, good time at Augusta. One more.
And lastly, here is the Jaguars head coach, Liam Cohn, speaking on Trevor Lawrence's progression as he's battling back some injuries as we head into the spring.
As we lead in, we're optimistic that we'll get there, you know, in terms of where we need to go. He'll be on a pitch count for those things in terms of the where he has to get to, because he has little touch points he needs to reach before he can obviously get out onto the grass and do it full speed. Everything's moving forward. He feels really good right now. So excited about that.
Yeah, we're a week away from the NFL draft, 2 weeks away. This is the time of the year where we get an in-depth look at the Jaguars' quarterback position from their new head coach. I don't care that Trevor Lawrence is on a pitch count. You don't care that Trevor Lawrence is on a pitch count. I'm not even sure Liam Cohen or Trevor Lawrence care that he is on a pitch count, but that is where we are at, just a few weeks away from the NFL draft, which, by the way, the Lambeau Field account posted a video, and you can start to see the stage come together. It's right outside Lambeau. The draft's not being held in Lambeau. They're building the stage in the parking lot. Very excited to see how that looks. I also think that, take any big city in the world, the traffic jam that's going to be Green Bay on that Thursday, nothing will rival what is going to happen in Green Bay, because they're like three roads. I mean, even like Tokyo and New York City and India, Green Bay, Wisconsin is going to be bumper to bumper, and it might be that way the entire weekend. I'm going to have to get up there Tuesday, I think. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show. Go back, go!